Now, the next stanza of the poem. Alas, what boots it with incessant care to tend the homely slighted shepherd's trade and strictly mediate the thankless muse? Were it not better done as others use, to sport with amaryllis in the shade, or with the tangles of Nereus' hair? Fame's the spur that the clear spirit doth raise, that lost infirmity of noble mind, to scorn delights and live laborious days, but the fair guerdon when we hope to find and think to burst out into sudden blaze. Comes the blind fury with the abhorred seers and slits the thin spin life, but not the praise. Phoebus replied and touched my trembling ears. Fame is no plant that grows on mortal soil, nor in the glistering foil set off to the world, nor in broad rumor lies, but lives and spreads aloft by those pure eyes and perfect witness of all-judging love, as he pronounces lastly on each deed of so much fame in heaven, expect thy meed. Reference of this stanza will be shame. Context: in these lines, the poet expresses his ideas about the tragic death of Lycidas and condemns the muse who has the power to save, yet she has not saved. Lycidas was a poet, yet muse did not come forward to save him. Explanation: there was a great question in the mind of Milton why the muse, the goddess of the poetry, had not come forward to save the poet like Lycidas. It may be noted that when Milton was writing this poem, the great days of Shakespeare and Marlowe were over and the poets were not much respected. Amaryllis and Neaera are names of imaginary shepherdess from Greek and Latin pastoral elegies. Sporting with them means writing love poetry. Milton further says that as a result of his hard labor, when he hopes to burst out into a sudden blaze, the blind fury or fate comes with her abhorred seers and cuts of the thin spun life, but all are vain. To him, the true fame is not a plant that grows on our earth, which is visited by death. True fame is a gem which does not require the use of the foil of popular opinion to set off its lustre. In other words, real glory is independent of popular applause. It consists in the approval of Jove, the god of the gods, who is known for his unerring discrimination. Jove awards glory only to those who really deserve it. He makes the award after a thorough examination and appraisal of the deeds of the person concerned. Next stanza of the poem. O fountain Erythios, and thou honored flood, smooth sliding minicus crowned with vocal reeds, that strain I heard was of a higher mood, but now my oath proceeds and listens to the herald of the sea that came in Neptune's plea. He asked the waves and asked the foam winds what her mishap hath done this gentle swain, and questioned every gust of rugged wings that blows from off each beaked promontory. They knew not of his story, and says Hippotades their answer brings, that not a blast was from his dungeon stirred. The air was calm, and on the level brine, sleek Panope with all her sisters played. It was that fatal and perfidious bark, built in the eclipse and rigged with curses dark, that sunk so low that sacred head of thine. Reference will be same. Context: in these lines, the poet John Milton expresses his idea about his friend's tragic death. In the beginning, he thinks that the muses and gods are responsible for his tragic death, but after some meditation, he finds that the muses and gods are not really responsible for the tragic death of Lycidas. But the reason is something else. Here he tries to find it out. Explanation: here the poet presents many mythological instances and tries to know the real cause of the shipwreck. The god of the winds and the god of the sea were not guilty of causing his death. He describes the pastoral example of the fountain Arethuse. It represents the spring of Sicily, which has been used by Theocritus, and gives the example of the Minissus, the river which has been used by Virgil in his poetry to him. Both are favorable. It means the poet wants to say that the season, wind and current of the sea and rivers are fully favorable to sail. But the problem is something else. As he is told, the god of the sea, Neptune, was also helpful. Then, what was the reason why the great mishap took place? The great sage Hippotadus, the ruler of the wind, tells the poet that the sea and winds have done nothing in drowning of the ship, but the ship in which the king sailed had been built at the time of eclipse. The witches had cursed it as it was being rigged, so the ship was ill-fated, and it proved treacherous of Edward King and caused his death. Thus, in these lines, the poet saves the god of wind and sea and tells that they are not responsible to wreck the ship and cause Lycidas's death. To him, it is the eclipse which brought about all the misfortune. Next stanza of the poem. Next Camas, reverend sire, went footing slow, his mantle hairy and his bonnet seize, in wrath with figures dim and on the edge, like to that sanguine flower inscribed with woe. Ah, oh, who hath reft, quoth he, my desert place? Last come and last did go, the pilot of the Galilean lake, two massy keys he bore of metals twain, the golden opes, the iron shuts amain. He shook his mitred legs and stern bishop, how well could I have spared for thee, young swain, you know, of such as for their belly's sake creep and intrude and climb into the fold, of other care their little reckoning make, than how to scramble at the seer's feast, and so away the worthy bidden guest. Blind mouths that scare themselves know how to hold a sheep hook, or have learned aught else the last, that to the faithful heartsman's art belongs. What recks it then? What need they? They are sped, and when they list their lean and flashy songs, grate on their scrannel pipes of raised straw, the hungry sheep look up and are not fed, but swollen with wind, and the rank mist they draw, rot inwardly and fall, contagion spread. Besides what the grim wolf with privy paw daily devours his apiece, and nothing said, but that two-handed engine at the door, it stands ready to smite at once and might no more. Reference will be shame. Context: in these lines, the poet John Milton presents the pastoral manner where various natural and supernatural powers came to lament the death of Lycidas. Explanation: Camus, the god of the river Cam, makes lamentation on the death of Lycidas. The river Cam has been symbolized as the University of Cambridge, where great tributes have been paid to Lycidas. The poet asks who have ruined the flower and who bring the way. Lastly, Saint Peter, who was the fisherman on the Lake Galilee, on the call of Christ, comes out to mourn on the death of Lycidas. It is perfectly naturally that Saint Peter, the head of the shepherd of the church, should mourn the death of the king who was designed for the church. Then again, Milton tells the position of the clergyman of the church. Here, Milton puts into the mouth of Saint Peter his first declaration of his sympathy with the Puritans in their opposition to Archbishop Laud. Milton accepts that the death of Edward was due to the clergyman, because he wounds up with a terrible prophecy that day. These clergymen have not learned anything, and clergymen are fully selfish and self-centered. They do not know anything, how to look after the spiritual welfare of the people. They are not fully responsible of their office. He condemns for their selfishness. According to him, these clergymen are blind and they cannot lead properly, giving a pastoral idea. The poet says that they do not know how to play on their pipe. Their sermons always give a wrong effect on the people. So these are fully useless. Milton compares these clergymen with two-handed engines. The two-handed engine has been explained in many ways by the editors and critics, but he wants to say that it is very like the axe. Here he refers to Matthew chapter 3 of volume 10, where the axe is laid to cut the roof of the tree. Now, the next stanza of the poem: Return, Alpheus, the dread voice is past, that shrunk thy stream, that shrunk thy streams. Return, Sicilian muse, and call the wheels and bid them hither cast their bells and flowerets of thousand hues. Ye valleys low where the mild whispers use of seeds and wanton winds and gushing brooks, on whose fresh lap the swart stirp sparely looks, throw hither all your quaint enameled eyes, that in the green turf suck the honeyed showers, and purple all the ground with vernal flowers, bring the rather primrose that forsakes dies, the tuft crow toy and pale jessamine, the white pink and the pansy freaked with jet, the glowing violet, the musk rose, and the well attired woodbine. with cowslips when that hang the pensive head, and every flower that said embroidery wears bid Amaranthus all his beauty said, and daffodils fill their cups with tears to strew the laureate hairs where Lycidas lies, for so to interpose a little ease, let our frail thoughts daily with false surmise, yea me, whilst thee the source and soundings cease, wash far away where thy bones are hurled, whether beyond the stormy Hebrides, where thou perhaps under the whelming tide visit the bottom of the monstrous world, or whether thou to our most woes denied sleepst by the fable of Belarus old, where the great vision of the guarded mount look toward Namcos and Biona's hold, look homeward angel now and melt with wrath, and o'er dolphins waft the hapless youth. The reference will be same here. Context: in these lines, the poet John Milton expresses his idea how to give tribute to Edward King. Here, the poet bids all the fair flowers to come in their amazing beauty and color to be strewn over Lycidas. Explanation: in these lines, the poet prays to a god of river, Alpheus, the lover of Arthuas, the Sicilian muse, and says that he should come forward to salute Edward King. Milton calls upon all the valleys and river banks to yield up their choicest flowers to strew over the hairs of Lycidas. He provokes green turf to bring all the spring and honey showers to give him all these. He also calls the pale jasmine and different colored flowers to decorate Lycidas. He calls all types of flowers to beautify Lycidas. Then again, the poet suggests that we should give ourselves a little relief to our sorrow by false supposition that the body of Lycidas lying in the coffin. We should imagine that we have got the dead body and can strew flowers on the hairs, while actually the body is being drifted by the waves. But no one knows where the body has gone. It may go from shore to shore. Here Milton imagines that Lycidas was buried on land. He further thinks that it is believed that the apparition of St. Michael is often seen there. Milton imagines that the vision of the angel is always the guardian of Great Britain. Numenco and Bayona are places on the northern coast of Spain. From days of the Armada, Spain was considered to be a source of danger to Great Britain. He also calls the angel St. Michael, who is asked to cease looking towards Spain and turn his gaze to where Lycidas may lie. Now, the next stanza of the poem. Weep no more, woeful shepherds, weep no more. For Lycidas, your sorrow is not dead, sunk though he be beneath the watery floor. So sings the dear day satyr in the ocean bed, and yet anon repairs his dropping head, and tricks his beams, and with new spangled ore flames in the forehead of the morning sky. So Lycidas sunk low but mounted high, through the dear might for of him that walked the waves where other groves and other streams along, with nectar pure. His oozy locks he loves and hears the unexpressive nuptial song, and the blessed kingdoms meek of joy and love. There entertain him all the saints above, in solemn troops and sweet societies that sing, and singing in their glory move, and wipe the tears forever from his eyes. Now, Lycidas the shepherds weep no more. Henceforth, you, though, are the genius of the shore, in the large recompense and salt be good to all that wander in that perilous flood. Reference will be seen. Context: in these lines, the poet John Milton expresses his idea about the immortality of the soul. Accordingly to him, Lycidas is not dead, but he has got the greatest place in the lap of God. It is very common in the pastoral elegy that it ends with a note of triumph. Here, he describes that in a very grand manner. Now, explanation. Here, the poet presents the convention of the pastoral elegy, and he says to all the shepherds that there is no need to lament on the sad death of Lycidas, because Lycidas is not dead. It is true that he has sunk into the sea in the same way as the sun sinks into the sea, and again the beams come out from the sea as the day breaks. Similarly, Lycidas also sank into the sea, but he would come out from that the climb at the highest peak of the mountain. He has reached heaven. Lycidas was taken by Christ to heaven, where he washed his locks covered with oozes in pure nectar. There, in the abode of the humble, he hears the marriage song of indescribable beauty and melody. He was given all the joys more than any holy says. Thus, Lycidas is now in the abode of Lord, where he gets all the peace and pleasure. So, we need not weep for him. So, he is free from all the perilous flood, because he has got the eternal home of God. Now, the next and last stanza of the poem. Thus sang the uncouth swain to the oaks and rills, while the still morn wet out with sandals gray, he touched the tender stops of carrier quills, with eager thought warbling his Doric lay. And now the sun had stretched out all the hills, and now was dropped into the western bay. And last he rose and twisted his mantle blue, tomorrow to fresh woods and pastures new. Reference will be seen. The context: in these particular lines, the poet John Milton expresses his idea about the new song. There are the closing lines of the poem. Lycidas. Here the poet hopes that the shepherds should proceed to fresh wood and new pastures. Explanation: these concluding lines are a kind of epilogue in which the poet Milton tells all the shepherds that they should then wear new clothes and they should make themselves fully fresh. The dirge is over. So he refers to the shepherd's mantle as blue, the traditional color of the shepherds. Now, the new light has come, so they should proceed on in search of new pastures. He further says that they should forget the last sad memories, because Lycidas is immortal. Here the poet wants to do some new deed, because the old ones are full of sad thoughts of his dear departed friend Lycidas. Here, Milton is probably thinking of the new role of a great epic poet. Thank you. This is the end of poem Lycidas.